Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome you affectionately for your first session in this Holy Name immersion sessions. We have altogether three. This is establishing our relationship with the Holy Name. The second is growing our relationship, and the third is entitled Deepening our relationship to the Holy Name. It is a great honor for me to greet you all. Let me just see that I'm loud enough and easily audible. I think this is much better. Good, I see some devotees are still coming, no problem. I wanted to just start with telling you a personal relationship, how I relate to this subject. I once had a scary experience in Allahabad. I went from the traveling bus party, Nitagore World Traveling Sankirtan Party, and took rest under a tree. I remember I wanted very much to just, after traveling and staying up later than 12 o'clock each day and then getting up very early, I needed some pause. And so I told the devotees I will go a little bit, find a shady tree, and then I will be back in the evening. So I found a shady tree and fell into a deep comatose sleep until two things woke me up. One was that I had been lying in the sun for quite some time. I was feeling the heavy sunburn, but that was not so much the problem. There was the second thing was much more problematic. There were jackals and hyenas and vultures around me, thinking that I'm dead. And they were making their sounds, frightening sounds. You know, I heard the hyenas were just opening and closing their mouth to train their muscles, you know, for grabbing me, and the vultures were hopping around. And I became so frightened, I shouted, "Later! You're a little bit too early!" And looked for a stone to chase this away. As long as there's life force in the body, the enemies cannot come and devour you. But I needed yet to learn that there must be also life force in the mind. If the mind is dry, then it has no life, there's no enthusiasm, and the vultures and hyenas of anger, confusion perhaps, renewed, resurging material desires, they all come just like these vultures and hyenas came to have a feast on me. Also these inner enemies, they come when there is no not the life force of devotion or devotional enthusiasm in our heart. Yes, there can be years of mechanical practice, but this mechanical practice does not really bring the life force of devotion to our heart. And you can see from your own experience that perhaps sometimes you still are overwhelmed by anger, by what else is there? Material attachments of various sorts, or enviousness on the success of others. There must be devotion in the mind, and therefore this seminar has been titled Learning to Chant with Devotion, because that is the life force of the mind. Narottamdas Thakur says like this. One moment, I am want to remember his words. Smaran manera pran, the remembrance of Krishna, you know, brings about this devotion, and that is the life force of the body, of the mind. Just like there is the prana in the body, which regulates the digestion, the movement, and various pranas are ruling over functions like heartbeat and so on. There must be a life force in the heart and in the mind of a practicing devotee. Only then he or she is truly alive, not by mere mechanical practice. It's better than nothing to do mechanical practice. Let us not be too harsh on this practice, which many of us might be involved most of the time in their life, but it does not bring the bhakti in our heart, the devotion. That comes when we are mindful of Krishna, smaran, manera, pran, and by this remembrance or devotional mindfulness of Krishna, then we have life. So that I needed to learn, and I'm still a learner in this field, but I'm very enthusiastic about my findings, how to awaken this life force in our heart and our mind. And I'm very enthusiastic to hold various seminars all over the world. And by your kindness, I have a wonderful audience at a wonderful place here. Good. I thought we would chant just to get into the mood of the of chanting with devotion. 8 prayers glorifying the holy name. By now everyone should have these prayers. Nikila Shruti Moli Ratnamala Nikila Shruti Moli Ratnamala Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ayi Mukta Kulaya Upasyamanam Ayi Mukta Kulaya Upasyamanam Paritastvam Harinama Samshayami. Yes, in this beautiful verse, Srila Rupa Goswami invokes the most important image for the chanter, and that is that Krishna and his name are identical. So his name, also his lotus feet. His name is adored by liberated souls and is performed in Aratikto. So this is what the first verse is explaining. If I could only have a little music, Go Krishna, then you would be praised in the upper planets. O Harinam. The tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. So you can imagine the Upanishads standing before Nam Prabhu and performing with their own jewels, jeweled lamps, you know, and a beautiful aratik starting at the lotus feet. You are eternally adorned by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadev. So you can see the great souls are praising. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. What do you do when you take shelter? You know that when you are sheltered, you are protected against all odds, all obstacles. So here, the votary means the worshipper, is knowing if I can only take shelter of Harinam, everything is taken care of. We will do now text number 2. Jai Namadeya Muni Brinda Gaya He Jana. Oh, sorry, yes, please. Jai Namadeya Muni Brinda Gaya He Jana Ranjanaya Param Akshara Krite Jana Ranjanaya Param Akshara Krite Tvamanada Radab Myana Kudiditam Tvamanada Radab Myana Kudiditam Nikilo Gratapa Patalim Vilumpasi. In this verse it is explained how the holy name has appeared to give Janaranjanaya, give happiness to ordinary people. O Hari Nam, O name sung by the sages, O transcendental syllables that bring bliss to the people, even if you are spoken only once, and even if you are spoken disrespectfully, you are at once removing the many harsh sufferings of everyone. And we will go to the last verse for today. Yadabaso Pyutyan Kavalita. Yadabaso Pyutyan Kavita Bhavadan. I'm not so good here. Yadabaso Pyutyan Kavalita Bhavadvanta Vibhavo. Yadabasa Pyutyam Kavalita Bhavadvanta Vibhavo. Drisham Tadvandanam Apitishate Bhakti Pranayinim. Drisham Tadvandanam Apitishate Bhakti Pranayim. Janastasyodatam jagati bhagavanamatarane. Janastasyodatam jagati bhagavanamatarane. Kritite nivaktum kaiha mahimanam prabhavati. Kritite nivaktum kaiha mahimanam prabhavati. O Son of the Holy Name, even the dim light of your early dawn gives the sight of pure devotion to they who are blind to the truth. No? It's just, you know, in the morning when the sun rises, there's a dim light on the horizon announcing the later full manifestation of the sun. So even a little bit of your chanting can give the sight of pure devotion. What learned person in this world is able to describe your transcendental glory? Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, the last verse, I should prepare myself better. I have not, the meter is different. So you see, the Holy Name is here addressed as a person with lotus feet, with activities like pleasing the ordinary people, and like a person who can give gifts, like pure devotion to those. So this divine person must be approached like any person with the idea, I want to develop a relationship. How do I do it? Because this feeling of devotion or affection or closeness comes only in a developed relationship. When the relationship is not developed, or if you just do your practice in a mechanical way without being mindful of Krishna, that Krishna is the Holy Name, then you will be so unfortunate that there is no revelation of the Holy Name, and you have no real affection or nothing in your chanting, only the childish pleasure, perhaps, which the child feels when it has moved the beads in its counting device, you know, from left to right. So you might feel a similar fulfillment when you have moved your beads from up to down or down to up, and it may give you the feeling of righteousness and so on. And, oh, I'm a great chanter. 16 rounds completed, 32 rounds completed, 64 rounds completed. But that is not what happens in a relationship that is developed to the holy name. There are other feelings which will come, which the Bhagavatam describes. Bhakti, the direct experience, parishanubhavu, of Krishna. And such a taste that you lose your other tastes and don't have to struggle any longer. What was the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, please? Ishwarapuri. Very, yes, yes. Ishwarapuri was a traveling mendicant. He would walk from holy place to holy place. The first time Mahaprabhu saw him was in Navadvip, but later he saw him at another holy place. You remember? Gaya. So once Ishwarapuri developed in his mind to go to Vrindavan. And he, in those days, you would look for the Yamuna, and when you have found the Yamuna, you would follow the course of the Yamuna until you would arrive in Vrindavan Dham. And that's what Ishwarapuri did. For many months, he walked to go to Vrindavan. When he arrived in Vrindavan, he noted an overwhelming atmosphere of sweetness. And in order to express his absolute fascination with Vrindavan Dham, he composed a verse where he addressed Lord Krishna. And he revealed Lord Krishna what he considered the greatest pain in his heart. This is the verse. I will chant for you the first line. Nrityanvayu vigunita svavitape gayanalinam rutai. Munchan ashrumaranda bindu bialam roman shavanam kurai, etc. He said, "Hey Mukunda, I look at this mango tree in Vrindavan and I see that the mango tree is remembering you and is thus bewildered by prema." Now he will describe what this means, to be bewildered by prema. It is dancing in ecstasies, its branches swinging in the breeze. It is sweetly singing your glories, the tree is singing, through the humming of these bees, sweetly singing. It is weeping through the rasa, the juice which is dripping from its flowers. And its newly sprouted leaves are its hairs standing on end. Now he will compare the tree with himself. This unconscious tree is melting in love for you, O Krishna. Krishna, you are dearer to me than my own life. So why am I so unfortunate that even your name does not melt my heart? The tree cannot chant, but it is so much in Krishna consciousness that it seems to remember you, because otherwise how could it be
showing symptoms of prema, like dancing and singing and crying. These are the symptoms of ecstasy, as you all know. No? I can chant, which he cannot do. But I don't have these symptoms. I don't cry. My dancing is, can be improved. Singing and crying. No, we don't cry here. You know. So yes, this is what a great Vaishnava Acharya, great Vaishnava Acharya is feeling in relationship to the holy name I chant, but I seem to not have yet chanted with devotion, and he laments. There are many other verses in the scriptures. This was from Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's collection. And I would like to say, my dear devotees, and this will be our first exercise today, these symptoms of devotion. Let us start with the beginning. Prema is very high, but bhakti is what we want to, that's where we start, or what we hope to have when we do. They happen in a relationship with Krishna. And chanting means, chanting in with by feeling this sambandha, it's called this bond with Krishna, this will mean to chant with a feeling of being in a relationship to Krishna. It means to know deeply from the heart that you are an eternal soul and that Krishna is your master. Only then can you have a real experience of the holy name. This ties very much into a well-known verse that is often repeated in relationship to the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this verse where he describes what is the qualification for chanting the holy name. Who of you remembers the beginning of this well-known verse? Yes, I hear it humming, it is hummed by the bees. Trinadapi Sunichina, of course. To chant in a humble state of mind. Now please listen to Prabhupada's, to one of Prabhupada's definitions of humility. He has given a few definitions, and humility, the spiritual humility and not the minority complex which we know in this world, it needs various perspectives to be understood. So he said, humility means to understand that nothing and no one will save you. Not your money, not your intelligence, not your something I forgot, and also not your gun. I heard in America everyone has a gun under the pistol and under the cushion, but maybe that's European blasphemy. Nothing and no one will save you, will save me. Oh, save and accept Krishna. This is a definition of humility. It means to divest yourself from all man-made attempts to manage your life. No, you come, oh no, only Krishna. And when you chant with this, then you are taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. You do what Rupa Goswami had said, Namashraya. You take shelter in a relationship of helplessness to Krishna. Then your chanting is going very easy. There is no effort of concentration and so on. All techniques fall to the side, and only your heart is active, which calls out for Krishna. Please, Krishna, accept me. Please, Krishna, save me. Please, Krishna, protect me. And in that shelter, you are very, 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 very nicely kept. My dear devotees, it takes some time to come to this level. The associate of Mahaprabhu, whom you have heard about, Jagadananda Pandit, outlines the process of taking shelter in this relationship with the Holy Name, with humility. In one work, Prema Vivata, I will just quote as far as I know. No, I know it's from the sixth chapter. Yes. He says, E rupi samsara brahmite ko na jnana sadhu sange nitya tattva avagatana. Do you understand? No, then I will not chant the rest of the Bengali, because the living entity. That is you now. The living entity wanders in the material world, taking one birth after another. If by chance he comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes immediately knowledgeable of his true identity as a pure spirit soul and eternal servant of Krishna. I remember meeting Prabhupada for the last time in London, and he said, "So, have you understood our philosophy?" We were five Sangatan devotees, and no one of us got it right. And then he said himself, the first thing is to understand you are eternal, or life is eternal. He said, first thing to understand is that life is eternal. So this is what he repeated, and this is what you learn when you come by chance. So there is an immediate reaction to understanding this, that you are actually the soul. The understanding is, you feel I have invested wrongly in my life. I sometimes ask the devotees, what if it's true that you are not the body but the soul? Would this make a difference to your life? I think we would change 100% of our life if we understand this. No, but if you understand, then there is first a lamentation. He thus laments. He doesn't want material entanglement any longer. He becomes enlightened, and he says, "Oh no! Alas!" In Serbian language, he would say, "Oh vaya! Why have I served this illusory material energy for so long. It grieves you to see your previous life. You feel, I've just wasted my years. He bitterly regrets and cries out, Krishna, my Lord. This is now about the relationship, no? I'm your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has been completely devastated. You could also say, since I left you, everything has become endlessly complicated. I have to arrange this, I have to arrange that. I was cheated here, I was cheated there. I was hopeful here, I was frustrated there. Ooh, so complicated. Then Lord Krishna is so merciful that if anyone appeals to him earnestly, he immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement. So he, in another translation, it says that Krishna, when he sees that someone humbly comes to this position where he knows nothing and no one can save me, then Lord Krishna gives that living entity who surrenders unto him the strength to overcome Maya. You can't do that alone, my dear devotees. You need to be helped by Krishna. I like to say from my own experience, when I needed a few extra, when I needed money as a child, my parents would never give me more than €2.50 per month, German education. Because they thought he will never value money if we open our bank accounts for him. We keep them closed. And I greatly admire them for that. So I went to work every Sunday and distributed a newspaper. I remember the name of it. The World on Sunday was one newspaper. I needed to bring it also to the house of a rich man, and the rich man wanted me to bring it to his bed, you know, through the window and then in his bed. He was lying there drinking his morning coffee and wanting to read a newspaper. So he gave me always the double amount of my monthly spending money from my parents, and but he had a huge dog, and mostly the dog was under lock and key. But this one morning, I again knocked, pressed the bell at the garden gate, and then it rang in his sleeping room, and he pressed the bottom, the garden gate opened, and I went through. And when I was halfway, this huge dog, which was a combination of a lion and a tiger, it came and attacked me. And it was so, it jumped on me, it pushed me on the ground, and I think it looked for my arteria. I knew I would be seriously hurt. But then the owner of the dog, he called out, Fifi, name of the dog, and called him back. So I brushed myself off. I went to the window, gave the newspaper, and said, "Don't even give me your money. I'm so disappointed with you. And I almost lost my life, and I will never come again. You can get your newspaper from the garden gate. Enough." I was a proud German boy, no? So
Yes, I still remember. We passed his gate a few months away, and I told those who were with me in the car of this. So Maya, my dear devotees, is like the dog of Krishna. Very, very powerful, and she can only be overcome not by your efforts, but only when Krishna calls it back. Leave my devotee alone, and so on. So this is how Krishna gives us strength. He sees us struggling, but when we can come to him with this humble mood of understanding, looking for a real relationship, then, my dear devotees, he gives us the strength with his transcendental internal potency. And in this way, the overbearing potency of his own energy overpowers the inner energy, the external energy, Maya, who then cannot influence us any longer. Sambandha, my dear devotees, is necessary, this understanding of a basic relationship that binds you to Krishna. And in that inner orientation, you will call out to Krishna in a humble spirit, knowing that only he can save you. And then your chanting is very, very wonderful. You will not even see the time passing. You just can't get enough. And I would like now, I recognize it's not so very easy to bring us to the Sambandha understanding, Maya Poor Melody, that was for Guru Krishna, but I will give you a meditation that Rupa Goswami gave, a meditation that I do in most of the chanting, because I feel immediately that natural relationship which we all have, that is inherent means inside, our heart springs to life by this simple three steps of practicing an awareness of it. Would you like to try this? I will give you first the theory, because some of you are brain children. The first thing is you become, we will soon do it in an experimental way. I'm a part of Krishna. I'm a small particle of pure consciousness, and I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. The second meditation is around Krishna. First you start with yourself, then you reach out to Krishna. Krishna is the original, infinite Supreme Lord and my only master. And the third meditation is an analysis of being here in this world, being separated from Krishna. The material world is meant to reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. Krishna shows mercy in five ways to the living entities who leave him. First, he creates the material world. Then, if he is really merciful to someone, he gives them a frustration which helps these souls to wake up. Oh my God, that's the famous tiger mosquito. Yeah, they're called like this because their stench is not desirable. So Krishna gives the frustration. If he gives you frustration, that's his mercy. Because now, after seeing your illusion, you can turn away from this world to the
Shastras. That's his third form in which he gives mercy. And then to the Acharyas who live and teach the scriptures. And finally, the fifth mercy is he comes as an avatar. He descends in our world, and this avatar, which we are dealing with now in this retreat, is called the Nam Avatar. No? Nam Prabhu. So this is how Krishna shows mercy. He first gives us this world, and then the frustration. Therefore, the devotee says, this material world is meant to reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. Go, Krishna. So I request you to sit. This will be a meditative chant. Those who take notes, I'm very grateful that you see some value in what you hear, but now please rest the notebook, put it to the side. We will first start two mantras in an ordinary way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please sing.
Hare Krishna.
Contemplate. In my deepest core, the core of my being, I am inside my body. Almost as if I'm in a house. I look through the eyes. I smell with my nose. I listen with my ears and so on. Being inside of this body. To be more precise, I am in the heart that beats and pumps thousands of liters of blood in a day through this body. The skin always changes. The hair grows. Nothing is ever the same as far as the body is concerned. The cells change of the organs. But I'm inside. I do not change. I'm always there. And when the body is old and undergoes a final change, a final defeat from the onslaught of the material energy, I am not dying. I will move on to my next destination. I am not a part of my country. That is, the body is a part of the country. I am a part of Krishna. A small particle of pure consciousness. And I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Let that sink in a little bit. Krishna is the original infinite Supreme Lord. Krishna is my Lord and Master. The world that surrounds me has one purpose. The purpose which I have learned to use it to become rich or famous is not the original purpose. The original natural purpose is that I can use my time here to re-establish my forgotten relationship. This is possible when I wake up due to meeting a saintly person and understanding these truths from him. When I chant, I don't chant to finish a certain number of rounds or to sit for a certain time in the kirtan. I'm actually chanting to call out to Krishna, please, please, I beg you, accept me. Let us chant from this place. Everyone, please.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
before the next mantra which you chant, there are two doors. One door leads you to mindless chanting, and the other door, if you open it, leads you to chanting in a relationship with Krishna. Please choose your door wisely. If you want the real door to open, meditate. I'm eternal. I'm a part of Krishna. Krishna is my only Lord and Master. And this whole material world offers me an opportunity to re-establish my forgotten relationship. Please chant while walking through this door.
Hare Krishna.
Through the right door. Sing now.
Rama, Rama, Rama.
Dear devotees, if you can learn this, entering consciously in a relationship with Krishna, and we speak here really of the seed of a relationship, this sambandha understanding. It is the first part of our philosophy, sambandha abhideya payojana. You will see miracles. You will see miracles in your life. And Krishna will help you overcome your own difficulties. You cannot so easily overcome it on your own, but Krishna is very, very capable of removing or calling back the Maya's terrible influence on us. And good. Is there anything, Maharaj? I hear some of you saying, what we can do in terms of conscious or aware practice. And yes, there is something which you can practice. Relationship to practice, you know, yes, you can practice these steps, but it's always up to Krishna if he takes you serious or not. You may have to do it a little, but you can show Krishna your sincerity by making an effort in six areas of your japa. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this in his work, Bhajan Rahasya. Japa kali manake ekra. Ekakra bhavelao chita shuddha thag vritta kata nahi kao namata chinta sada daya shraya kada namete adara. I love this word, adara kari Krishna namasmara. It's a very beautiful verse about mindful chanting. The word for mindful chanting is nama smaran. Smarana, you know, remembering, recollection, thinking, meditating. Nam smaran does not mean what I had mistakenly thought for a long time, that you chant and you remember Krishna's pastimes. That is Lila Smaran, which has also its place in japa, and we might touch it. I'm not so sure, because then we would all jump into hot water. I'm at the present moment writing very carefully a book on Smaran and Krishna consciousness, where I approach the subject in the carefulness it deserves. But something will, of course, come in. So here is mindful chanting, where you. So it does not mean Lila Smaran. What it Nam Smaran means, you chant, but while you chant, you bring the chanting in your mind. It's in other words, not mechanic chanting or mindless chanting or absent-minded chanting. Nam Smaran, which you find often mentioned in our literature, for instance in Chaitanya Charitamrita, means you chant and you are there with your mind, recollecting the syllables, you know, contemplating the syllables. So this is what he says we should do. While chanting japa, focus the mind in one place. Be pure in your consciousness and do not speak anything useless. Meditate on the meaning of the holy names and take shelter of the quality of patience. In this way, show ararat, which means affectionate respect towards Krishna's names, and ultimately engage in Nam Smaran. We will unpack each single word and make a practice and practice it. But I think you understand the twist here. It goes into developing a relationship. A relationship cannot grow without respect. Respect of the different nature of the other person, respect of his needs or her needs, and so on. Once the respect is going in a relationship, it is ruined. Yes, there are informal moments in a relationship. Yes, there is what the Americans call hanging out. Yes, there is free moments. In Braj, when you love someone, you give them a gulcha. When a Brijbasi really has accepted you, he will give you a hit on the head. It's a cultural way of showing respect, different from ours. Have you ever seen? Who has been in Braj for some time? No? Yes? Yes, here. It's called gulcha. Gulcha. Just 2 days ago, we were a guest of a wonderful Brijbasi, and he gave one devotee of a gulcha. But then I thought, I never get any of these. And I wondered, but no. This is a certain expression of love. We have that in Germany also, but it's not so hard. We may drive, you know, in a car with our driver, and then we hit him on the leg, and it's an intimate moment for the Germans. But I can imagine that culturally some of you are from different areas. This is showing respect, adarat, affectionate respect. So while chanting japa, focus the mind in one place. Those who like to take notes, this is a good moment to take notes. I have quoted Bhaktivinoda from the first chapter of Bhajan Rahasya, but he really repeats a verse that is spoken in Hari Bhaktivilas. And Hari Bhaktivilas really repeats a verse that comes from a Shastra called Mantranava. So in Sanskrit, this is Manasamharana Socha Mona. And Mona. These are the first three. I will speak about three practices today. How you can show affectionate respect, the beginning of a relationship. The first is in Sanskrit, let's go to Sanskrit, Manasamharanam, concentrating the mind, or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, focus the mind in one place. Please listen how this is traditionally done. Our mind is usually bahushaka, Krishna describes. It is placed on so many things. Oh, you know, I want to tell you a typical day for me in the Krishna Balaram temple. It is, oh, when exactly is Prabhupada's Artik? When do I have to be there? Then is the morning program and the darshan. Wonderful. And then the next question, who gives the lecture? I hope it's not someone who gives boring lectures. Then, I'm telling you, maybe I shouldn't be so open. Let me be a proper ISKCON Swami. Then I go out of the temple after the lecture. With notes or no notes, and then I go to where I stay, and I have to pass a long line of devotees who want to purchase a sweet from the sweet shop. And then I joke with some devotees who I know, oh Prabhu, your belly has increased from the sweets. That I tell to my friends, and to the others I say, I recommend you this rasagula or so, you know. And then my thoughts are on the sweets immediately, which I can't eat any longer. Then I talk with so many people. Then I come to Radhe Shyam, the shoe stall, and I somehow hope that my shoes are still there. Then I go and pass the monkeys, and I grab my garland so that they don't steal my garland if it's a rose garland. And then I greet the guards at the gate to where I stay. So many things. Then someone comes and tells me the newest scandal in ISKCON. Oh, really? That is a very creative scandal. You know, and then I go, you know, and so on. So many thoughts during a day. And then I digest all of this and think about it. A mind, and with such a mind, my dear devotees, it is very difficult to be concentrated on one thing, on the holy name. Because all this works in you. You are not a block of metal. It works in you. Okay, some of us are not known to be extremely conscious in their lives, but they have other great abilities, of course. But it, even then, when you are not conscious about the individual thoughts, it is a mood. It is like the pepper, the salt, and the lassi, which makes a certain lassi. You know, all of this together is the lassi, or all of this makes your mood. And then to sit down, it's very, very difficult, because technically speaking, your prana, which is situated in the heart, has been very much moved. It's so, in yogic language, you have thought vrittis, waves in your heart of the various thoughts, especially when it is either very exciting news, either very happy news or very disturbing news. Especially disturbing news are really churning your heart. So when you sit down, then finally you have come to your room, you have 4 rounds left to your daily quota, and you want to sit down and complete your rounds before you see various devotees or move to various temples or do your temple shopping, whatever you do. It is very difficult to bring the mind to this activity. And most of us, my dear devotees, are always in this state of mind. They have so much to do. By the time they take their beads, they have perhaps already read and 5 mobile telephone messages and so on. They have to plan things, and their mind is stirred up. How do you expect to focus it on the chanting? It's not possible. The prana is disturbed. It's a mechanic, it's a physical thing of disturbance. So there are 2 ways to deal with this. The simple one, which you know, which is taught many times, to repeatedly make an effort to bring the mind back when it wanders. You know all this. This is taught in every japa retreat, in every holy name book. Here is another one. Because a mechanical problem in the car cannot be removed by good wishes and good thinking, but you need to bring the screwdriver. In the same way, if you have a prana, if you have a mechanical, physical problem of the mind, no, the disturbed prana, the Sanatana Goswami recommends, I'm sorry, but you are an attacker. I missed him. Sanatana Goswami gives us a pranayama. Have you heard about pranayama? Yes. Prana means the life air, and yama means regulation. You regulate, you make it peaceful. Would you like to know a simple pranayama which Sanatana Goswami gives in Hari Bhakti Vilas? Yes, no?
Yes.
So, you perform for 32 mantras puraka. Then you perform for 64 mantras kumbhaka. And then you perform for 16 mantras rechaka. So you would say, thank you very much, Maharaj. We didn't understand a word. Let's unpack this. Puraka means inhalation, kumbhaka means retention, and rechaka means exhalation. So, to translate mantras, to make it simple, I heard this from our Hari Parshad, 32 mantras is 6 seconds. Let me do it like this. On the count of six, you perform inhalation. Then you hold your breath. I will first explain and then we will do it. On the count of 12. And then you will exhale your breath on the count of 3. I know this is a very unusual ratio. Normally exhalation is double the length as inhalation, but no, this is something to quickly get to the disturbed mind and calm it. It's just for that. It's a little bit, it's like a
Squat force pranayama is really intense. Good. Are you willing to try? Good. So the first is we exhale. I will describe what we will do. We will exhale for, we won't count completely. Residual air in the lungs is the cause of a heavy mind and a negative mind and so on. Anyways, let's not go too much into this, but I want to give you a first-hand experience. So I will then count for you six, then I will say hold, and I will count for you 12. Watch me or listen to it. Actually, I will, you can, for those who are visual, I will make signs. For those who are hearing, I will count, and then exhalation. Three, say, I will say out. Yes? So first, just out. In. One, two, three, four, five, six. Hold. One, two, three, four, five, six. Hold. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Forceful exhalation. Good. All out. Then in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Out. Very good. Last time in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and forcefully. Yes, very good. Now normal, return to normal breathing. And let us now close our eyes and chant japa in one voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Please continue chanting, continue. Please continue. Allow your mind to totally enter the sound vibration. Hare, Hare, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Please chant on your own. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I think you can you feel this is a very good place to start now? You can now chant 32 rounds, no problem. My dear devotees, mana samharana is the first of six practices. It does not need to be done with pranayama. It can be done in a very simple way by collecting your mind. Almost like, you know, if I should collect here now my things. Okay, this thought about the sweet. Okay. Here, you bring all of it together in one place. let me put this here. All samharana, collecting it and then being there. And if you might also like to just breathe in and out very completely and simply, if you do not like details like this by some reason, you want it simple, yes, by all means. No, but mana samharanam, concentrate your mind, or collect your mind. There are two other practices, but I see the time is there, and I don't want to go too much over. I wanted to see, are there any quick questions? I did not get where I wanted to get to, because I thought, let's go without haste. I wanted to present to you a three-step program that is working miracles. It is new for most of you, but my thrust in this presentation was first of all to say, Prabhus, Matajis, it is time to stop mechanical chanting. Many Hare Krishna devotees are no longer keeping their initiation rounds of 16 rounds. Perhaps some of you are also not able to do this. I know four people who are close to me who are not able to do this because there is no real taste in it. There is no, and the taste is not there if we chant and not with if we don't feel a relationship to Krishna, a relationship of devotion. So there are things which we can do to work on this relationship. One was chanting in Sambandha. What was the first point? Becoming aware of. You know it. That we are part, yes, we are eternal soul, and Krishna is our only master, and the purpose of this world is really not to entangle my soul into that which brings repeated birth and death in this world. No? And then there is something we can do. We spoke about mana samharana, by which we show the first step in a relationship. That is affectionate respect. It all starts with respect. Affectionate respect. We will learn more. Oh, Krishna, but we go so slow. Is it too slow for you? Some subjects are already known. I know this, but it's not. These things are so true that it's good to hear them again. But tomorrow I will need to speed up, otherwise I can't get to the point. Okay, so my dear devotees, do you have any questions to the subjects you have heard?
Yes, I see one, and our Jananda Maharaj is there.
Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned in your talk from Prema Vaivarta that by chance, important, most important association of meeting a great devotee or a devotee by you actually said by chance, and the verse says by chance.
Yeah.
What is that chance?
Yeah. There is one analogy in one of the Upanishads how we meet a pure devotee. The analogy is about a certain tortoise who once in a year comes from the depths of the ocean to the surface of the ocean to breathe in oxygen, but then sinks immediately back into the ocean. So that's us. We are going up and down in the ocean of samsara like that turtle. Now, if by chance we can meet a pure devotee, then our happy way out is guaranteed. And this chance is as rare, here's the analogy, as when the fortunate turtle, is that an English word? Turtle, not or tortoise, comes up, and at that moment, a plank, wooden plank, is drifting by with a hole in it, which comes from the branch which once grew in it, and it goes bloop, and it can then hold on and doesn't need to go back to the ground. It's an analogy which wants to stress rarity of an event. It's very rare. So yes, this is how you meet a pure devotee. The Muchukunda speaks in the Bhagavatam about these meetings, that when we meet, as we go through the cycle of birth and death, a pure devotee, then our samsara can meet. It's by chance, you could also say, an extremely fortunate event. Extremely fortunate events don't happen so often. What brings this extreme fortunate event about? Once Prabhupada said, I created your good fortune. He said it like this, but I don't think that's the only answer. That's the answer of Prabhupada. Maharaji, I only know one word when it comes to this: kripa, the mercy of Krishna. Why does it fall on one and not on the other? Some say, you know, it's a hotly discussed subject in philosophy. It comes by unintentionally performed devotional service, which bring agyata sukriti. But that's just putting the question one step further back. It does not solve the question. Why does this unfortunate, this agyata sukriti happen? Yes, by the mercy of a devotee, you could say. My dear Jananda Maharaj, there are devotees who have the answer to everything in our movement. Please find them on this question. I don't have an answer to this one. And I sometimes think the question is more important than the answer. How can it be that I was so fortunate? I think it puts us in a humble state of non-knowing. Yes, I know, you have asked me, this may not be a satisfactory answer in our context of the movement. Giriraj Maharaj, you have written books, very, very, anything you could
say on this?
About what in particular?
How did this by chance meeting come about? Meeting of the soul with a pure devotee.
Yeah. Guru Krishna presided by Bhakti Lata Beach.
Yeah.
The combined mercy of Guru and Krishna.
Yeah. That's a wonderful verse. Yes, it explains it all. No, on one level it does. Let's be serious. This verse is the answer. By the mercy of Krishna, you meet a spiritual master, and then by the mercy of the spiritual master, you meet Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes. I think it's time for prasadam.
Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeep Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach.
Yes, yes. We wander through the universes and then we get mercy, and it's really a rare occurrence, like that the tortoise example. We are very, very, very fortunate that yes, Krishna sent us our spiritual master. Is there another question? Yes.
We often say that, and you also, I also heard from you today, that we should try to divert the mind from material thoughts and direct it to Krishna.
Yes.
In the same time, when we try to do it really forcibly, or we try to force us to follow our vows, etc., and then it's too much for the mind, at some point the mind resists, and he doesn't want any holy name at all. So what
he
to do?
He doesn't want any?
Any holy name at all.
Holy name at all? Really?
Well, that's the question which devotees often have.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking you what to do in this situation.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your question. Yes, we can't push the mind. It might become so rebellious that it pushes back. And often the mind can be very strong. Arjuna describes it as a forceful wind, which is Krishna. And Krishna says there, yes, the mind is very forceful, but by detachment and regular practice, it is possible. Now, in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where again the question comes, how to direct the mind always on Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very, very deep answer that is absolutely in harmony with the findings of neuroscience. It is really amazing. He says, ordinarily our thoughts go in our habitual thoughts, what we are habituated to think. However, it is possible to direct the mind to thoughts of Krishna. For instance, if you want to practice the Nam Japa, you collect your thoughts very carefully. You say, let us now focus, let us sit down, I'm going to chant the holy name. You may utter a prayer, my dear Lord Krishna, since so many long years in this material world, I'm absolutely removed from you, I am so separated from you, but today I'm turning to you as your sincere servant. See, you start to direct your mind. I was separated, but today I'm turning to you as your sincere servant. Please accept me in your service. No? This is, you direct your mind, and you need to know your mind a little bit. You need to know how to direct it. My mind, for instance, works very well when it's interested in something. So I create an interest, a verse, for instance, a new insight on the holy name. I showed a picture of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the holy name works wonders when I look at the... I direct the mind gently, like you would do with a child. Let's go here. And you have to know your child and how it works. And then it doesn't rebel. Everyone who has children knows. You can, if you know your child, look, he's crying, and you go, look. And the mind is... the child is going, or the mind of the child goes there. So, in this way, you are directing the mind. You have to learn that. I thank you very much, and see you very soon. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.